Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, what the heck? Let's start with a caller. We've got a great caller on the phone lines already on this Freedom Friday here with Montana Talks, and the phone lines are open for you for the next 2 hours here on the show before we get into Thanksgiving week next week. Tim in Billings already on the phone lines. You know, Matt Gaetz was President Trump's nominee to be Attorney General. Yesterday, he withdrew his name from consideration. Tim, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Aaron. I don't know if you saw, I had sent you a message regarding this kind of early yesterday afternoon, and I kind of think that Trump and Gaetz kind of played all the swampy, you know, never Trumper, all the people that are going to be a pain in his butt forever. He kind of played them, and Gaetz is the type of guy that he would be all for that. You know, we're gonna pull the old hook and ladder on you guys. We're gonna pull the rug out from under you. Nominate him because he's gonna draw a lot of, you know, a lot of attention, get a lot of controversy, have all the people who are gonna obstruct Trump's agenda, have them stand up and declare who they are right away, and Gaetz can go right back to his seat that he was reelected to in the last election. No danger of losing that congressional seat in a special election. And, you know, they can identify the people who are going to obstruct them very early, and then they can pull them into a room and they can say, look here, ladies and germs, time to either get on board or we will start the primary process right now.
Yeah, right. I agree. I mean, Victor Davis Hanson earlier this week was speculating that Matt Gaetz was the sacrificial lamb for the Trump administration. This was before Gaetz had withdrawn his name, that basically, yeah, Gaetz would draw all the ire, all of this attention. And meanwhile, what he does is he moves the pendulum further to the right. And now all these people that balk, oh, Gaetz is to this, Gaetz is to that. Okay, well, now all of these other guys are seen as more moderate. And on top of that, look, he exposed who his potential enemies are. He exposed, you know, who would oppose him no matter what, despite this massive mandate that President Trump just received. Now they've had all these closed-door meetings with all these Republican senators. They know who their friends are. They know who their potential enemies are. But then on top of that, yeah, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for a Matt Gaetz. I don't think he'll go back and run for Congress again. He probably feels like he's been there, done that, and you know, but because he didn't have to resign that seat in the first place, right? He could have just stayed in. But, you know, you can serve.
Well, my understanding was that he resigned his current seat, this term that he's fulfilling right now. Since he won re-election, he can submit a letter to whoever the administrator of the Congress is and say, I intend on fulfilling the seat for the election that I just won. And he doesn't even, there's no risk of that, even a special election.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's another interesting angle. Yeah. Although I did hear, apparently his wife gave a speech or put out a tweet or something where she talked about it being an end of an era in Washington, D.C. So we'll see. All right. Phone lines are open. Back after this.
Securing America.
The Pentagon is reacting to the use of a new intermediate-range ballistic missile by Russia in its war against Ukraine, and Russian President Vladimir Putin's claim that U.S. defenses couldn't stop the new missile. Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh spoke at a briefing Thursday.
We've seen this type of, you know, dangerous, reckless rhetoric before from President Putin.
Earlier this week, Putin said his country's new policy would allow for a nuclear response even to conventional attacks by any country supported by a nuclear power, an obvious message to the U.S. Singh says despite the threat, Americans don't need to worry.
We haven't seen any adjustments that we've observed in their nuclear posture, and we haven't adjusted our nuclear posture in exchange.
Singh adding the U.S. does not seek war with Russia.
You're not seeing, you know, U.S. fighters on the ground.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. 26-year-old Jose Ibarra has been convicted and sentenced for brutally murdering 22-year-old Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley. Riley went for a run on February 22nd on the University of Georgia campus. During the trial, prosecutor Sheila Ross argued that Ibarra killed Riley after she fought off his attempt to rape her.
Lakin left those scratches, and the physical evidence says that she left those scratches because that is why his DNA is underneath her right fingernails.
She says Ibarra then bashed her skull with a rock repeatedly. The judge handed down Ibarra's sentence of life without parole after listening to powerful statements from Riley's heartbroken family, like her father, Jason Riley.
I am haunted by the thought of the fear she must have felt in those final moments, and it breaks my heart knowing that she suffered.
The killing drew attention to the national immigration debate. Ibarra is from Venezuela and was in the country illegally. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I continued the conversation with Tim and Billings during the break there because we've got several other callers on the phone lines right now, too, that I want to get to. But Tim asked me a good question. He said, hey, did you see that MSNBC is freaking out? And I hadn't seen that yet, but apparently MSNBC is freaking out. Not just because they forced their morning show hosts to go have coffee with Donald Trump, but their ratings just continue to tank. So that's not why they're freaking out, apparently. Well, that's one reason they're freaking out. But they're freaking out because now that Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name, President Trump, 6 hours after Gaetz made it public that he was withdrawing his name as the attorney general nominee, then Donald Trump announced that Pam Bondi, the incredible attorney general from Florida, would be his nominee for attorney general. And Tim said that MSNBC is freaking out about Bondi because they see her as somebody who really can go in there and bring about change inside of that institution. And so they see her as somebody who's been an effective attorney general for the past, you know, for 8 years she was an effective attorney general. She's very close to President Trump. And she kind of already knows who the good guys and the bad guys are within that U.S. Department of Justice, or Department of Injustice, as it could more accurately be called right now. And then I told Tim, I also think that, you know, President Trump is doing a little bit of the art of the deal here, where he goes into that negotiating room with a proposal, with a pitch, knowing full well that they're going to reject something potentially, but yet he uses that as a way to push them into getting the deal that he actually wants to get. And I wonder if that's what's taking place here. Scott in Bozeman next up on the phone line. Scott, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Aaron. Neighbor in my neighborhood here in Bozeman, whose wife got into a minor fender bender earlier in the week in the neighborhood with what turned out to be an illegal migrant. And long story short, the police officer said they couldn't do anything. All this gentleman had was his name in terms of any sort of identification, and they let him go. She got into a discussion with the police officer, and now I'd like to see this number verified. I don't know where the police officer got it, but the Bozeman police officer told my neighbor that there are 20,000 illegals in Gallatin County alone.
That would be interesting. If somebody has that kind of an estimate, if they're putting out that kind of an estimate, that I would be interested in hearing that on the record because, yeah, how would you even know? We know there's a lot of illegals that are in Bozeman and the Gallatin Valley, but how many, that's the hard part, right?
Exactly. I would like to research this number, but it doesn't seem like the type of individual and situation to just randomly willy-nilly throw out a number. There's got to be something there to that from the police officer, but I would like to get it verified, but I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, it's just kind of one of those things, you know, casual conversation, you know, you're not talking on the record with anybody, and maybe the officer was just trying to emphasize how many illegals there are, you know, and with maybe an exaggeration. Because, yeah, 20,000, that would be more illegal aliens than there are the entire population of students at Montana State University. So that would seem like that's a stretch. But we know there's a lot of them. I think that's the bigger point here. And I don't know if you heard, so I reached out to the Bozeman Police Chief, Chief Jim Veltkamp, and Captain Dana McNeil, and Captain McNeil was out of the office, so Chief Veltkamp responded. I asked them, I said, hey, DHS is saying that Tren de Aragua is now in Montana, the violent Venezuelan gang. Anything additional that you guys are hearing? Any known ties with TDA and suspects in Bozeman? And Chief Veltkamp told me that they have had interactions with a few people in Bozeman who have suspected ties to Tren de Aragua. But as you can imagine, it's often very difficult to determine an accurate level of their affiliation with the organization. But he says that we do have several that we believe are suspected to be tied to Tren de Aragua. That's kind of the first, you know, I guess the most interesting info I've heard back from Montana law enforcement thus far.
Given my day-to-day life here in Bozeman, I would not doubt that at all when I see.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, how is the, by the way, how do you see the cleanup going right now? I saw a liberal Montana Free Press article a few days ago. Bozeman starts relocating urban campers in wake of new law. I saw they spent $60,000, the city did, just cleaning up the trash from these transients or so-called urban campers. Is the relocation cleanup effort working, or are the transients just setting up shop in other locations of the city?
Funny you asked that, Aaron, because I was noticing yesterday with my neighbors that there are two streets near me in my house, in my neighborhood. I'm going to call it five blocks away-ish. There's always been two streets that have campers in the last 30, well, let's call it 72 hours. One of the streets is empty, but then the next street is more crowded, quite literally.
Yeah, so they just moved the block away.
Well, it's going. Baby steps, I guess. Baby steps.
Whack-a-mole. You punch them out of this block, and they punch over to the next one. Yeah, I'll have to check in. I'll have to check in with some other folks to see their read on the situation. But great to hear your insight, the ground perspective. Thanks for the call. Let's see. I was going to get to Matt in Kalispell. We lost Matt in Kalispell. But, Matt, if you want, call back in, 406-294-0970. Or if you're busy and that's why you couldn't stay on the phone lines, shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app. Richard in Jordan next up, coming up right after the break. In fact, Richard, I've got this great photograph. They shipped it to me in the mail. Norma Ashby Smith and Dwight Smith, they sent me a copy of the photograph, framed and everything. Got a really nice frame on it from the Mint Bar in Big Sandy. What a beautiful photograph. Back with Richard and Jordan on the phone lines right after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Every journalist in Washington knew that Matt Gaetz was never going to be confirmed as Attorney General. And abruptly, a day after making the rounds on Capitol Hill, realizing he didn't have the votes, realizing that media organizations were digging up one piece of evidence after another about sexual assault allegations, which he vehemently denies, he pulled out. And Donald Trump would never have withdrawn his name, but seemed kind of relieved and praised him for not wanting to be a distraction. That's what Gaetz said. Also, politics is personal, and a lot of people on the Hill didn't like him, as well as having questions about how he would run the Justice Department with so little experience. So it really wasn't a shock. It's basic math. Republicans wouldn't even commit to voting for him. Now they're glad they don't have to walk the plank. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. J.D. Vance is now Vice President-elect, but he remains a senator, and he's also a dad of three. That's why Vance recently returned to Capitol Hill to take his 7-year-old son Ewan and his Cub Scout troop on a tour of the Capitol. Vance soon leaves the Senate for the vice presidency. He'll be back on Capitol Hill from time to time to preside over the Senate and potentially break ties. The question now is who Republican Ohio Senator Mike DeWine will appoint to succeed Vance. The governor will not make an announcement on who will replace the senator until Vance officially resigns and there's a vacancy. They also have no idea when Vance wants to do that. It could wait until the inauguration. But DeWine wants to pick someone who will serve a long time. That person will also need to run in a special election in 2026 for the remainder of Vance's term, and DeWine wants them to run for the full term in 2028. DeWine, of course, is getting lots of phone calls pitching names, but he does not have an official shortlist. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Yeah, this is funny. I had an opening rant on the show the other day. What is it with this brawl of the wild? It's not some fair trade organic coffee brand. It's the Cat Grizz game. It's a football game. Just call it Cat Grizz. Anyway, our producer Travis responded, what's wrong with brawl of the wild? And he had some cool trivia that went along with it. Check that out, MontanaTalks.com. Hey, plus, if you're looking for a hotel in Bozeman, you better act fast. A look at prices and more.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I got to scribble down a couple of notes of things that I need to mention, because otherwise what happened, we take all these great phone calls, we start going in a bunch of different directions, and I'm like, I never mentioned that thing I said I was going to mention. So I got to tell you about what Sam Faddis had to say about Putin, Russia, nukes, potential World War III. He's a former CIA operations officer, so I got to get to that. And something that John Jackson, the Joker from X, we talked about this on Tuesday morning on the show. What about a potential FBI director for President Trump? Anyway, an update on that story. I just sent out a tweet, x.com/Aaron Flint. Very interesting update. President Trump comes down very clearly and says, no, it will not be that guy. That guy will not be the FBI director. So I'll tell you who that guy is in just a second. Amy and Helena. This is funny. Amy and Helena just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Aaron, wouldn't it be hilarious if Governor DeSantis appointed Matt Gaetz to fill Marco Rubio's Senate seat? I would laugh all year long. Play chess, not checkers. Yeah, that would be hilarious. Could you imagine if Florida Governor Ron DeSantis appointed Matt Gaetz to be the U.S. Senator in place of Marco Rubio? President Trump is nominating Marco Rubio to be Secretary of State, so that opens up a Senate seat. Now, I think Lara Trump has said she would be open to filling that Senate seat. So if I was Ron DeSantis, I'd probably be leaning towards somebody with a last name Trump myself, but that would be hilarious if he put Gaetz in there. All right, here you go, McConnell. Here you go, new guy from Utah. You know, the apparently the Mitt Romney replacement. Good night. Yeah, here you go. You guys can have him. Because it's just like, and then the House Republicans, they just kicked back their feet and they were just like, all right, here's a toast to you, senators. Have fun. Have fun with that one. Let's go to Richard and Jordan. Richard, great to hear from you.
Good morning, sir. I wanted to kind of draw a line. I saw this as soon as Matt Gaetz was nominated. I scratched my head and thought for about 30 seconds and figured out, no, this is a head fake. It has to be a head fake. Not only because, you know, we all know that the charges against Matt Gaetz are, they're fake. It's all going to come out in the wash that it didn't happen. So the controversy isn't real. But I was talking to a buddy of mine, you know, we do our podcast together, and I told him, you know, when this, because he told me and he was like, hey, I'm a little concerned about this, you know, him not being able to, and I used the analogy of, your listeners might remember the movie We Were Soldiers.
Where, oh, yeah.
Hal Moore ran into the creek bed because there was nothing going on, but they had soldiers that were trapped on the other side in the middle. And there's that whole scene where he tells the lieutenant, he says, give the order to fire 6 rounds into anything that seems suspicious to them. And they did, and the entire jungle exploded. Matt Gaetz was Donald Trump's 6 rounds.
Mm.
And because you don't know in the Senate exactly, and there's so many rhinos out there that you don't know who's going to oppose Donald Trump, especially after his first four-year term. And so I saw, you know, almost immediately, I saw Matt Gaetz as Donald Trump's sixth round. Find out who's going to oppose him from the word go and use somebody that would be willing to do that.
A recon and by fire. What a great analogy. A recon by fire, basically, is what he did here. He just did a recon on what the Senate looks like right now. That is such a brilliant analogy. Yeah, because I think everybody was pretty shocked when he announced that Matt Gaetz would be his nominee for attorney general. Not because most people believed these allegations against him, because, look, frankly, if the allegations had some merit to them, then the Biden Justice Department, of all justice departments, would have gone after him, would have prosecuted him, right? And I mean, they even go after people that they don't have, an actual case against. So if they actually had a case against Matt Gaetz, why wouldn't they go after him, right? But the reason I think most people were surprised is just because we recognize how unpopular Matt Gaetz was with a lot of Republicans, even with a lot of conservative Republicans, right? And so this was, like you say, this was the ultimate recon by fire, with the six rounds, as you put it, where Donald Trump can throw this out there and find out who's really going to stick with him, even with somebody who might be unpopular, even in certain circles of the GOP, with somebody like a Matt Gaetz. And so now he knows, and now he's moved the bar closer to getting more conservative nominees in place, because could anybody be as offensive to them as a Matt Gaetz, right?
Well, precisely. And personally, I mean, I've always seen Donald Trump as, and some may, you know, counter the actual number I use, but I see him as 12 steps ahead of everybody that's establishment.
All the time.
And they're always looking behind. He's always looking forward. And, I mean, to see him actually do that and to see it, I mean, because as you just pointed out, it wasn't just about the DOJ appointment. It was about all of his appointments.
That's right.
I think that was key.
Yep. No, well said. Richard, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation. Tell you what Richard and Jordan just shared right there, that's what we love, taking your phone calls. That type of analogy, that type of insight is something that you'd be lucky to find in a lot of these national conservative news outlets or whatever. That analogy he just made there about this recon by fire, as I call it, of Donald J. Trump. Dana Loesch, she referred to it another way on her program last night as well.
So this is how I'm laying it out. I'm just laying it out here. I'm not telling you to take a position on whatever is in the ethics report. I'm just telling you what I see. But I do think it's actual 4D chess on behalf of POTUS, not deep state.
Yeah, so she says this wasn't the deep state playing 4D chess against Matt Gaetz. This was the POTUS, elect playing 4D chess against them. Let's see. The best way to get Gaetz out of the way, and she says, as I said last hour, this is what I would do if I was in this situation and I needed to clean up my house, so to speak, or the house, is nominate him for a position you know he's not going to get, because you know he's not going to get confirmed, not just because of his own chosen poor relationships with other lawmakers, regardless of whether you like him or not. He didn't get along with everybody. Trump knows he's not going to get the seat or get confirmed, nominates him anyway, and then lets the public in the process do what they do. Take care of it for you, right? Then you can stand back and say, hey, look, I'm being loyal to the guy. I picked him for the seat. It didn't work. But she says, look, it's a brilliant move. She says it's the exact same thing I would do if I was in the position where I needed to get rid of somebody that was causing me problems but hadn't taken a stance against me publicly. I think there's even more to it than that, though, from what Dana Loesch is saying. I think what Richard had to say there about the recon by fire is spot on. Stephen Miller is going to be, I think, basically the deputy chief of staff in the Trump White House. And I joked about it last week. I was just about to send Stephen Miller a message to see if he wanted to join us
on Montana Talks, you know, do a little victory lap after the Senate race, because, you know, Stephen Miller came out to Montana at least once, maybe twice, and he joined us on this show calling out liberal Senator John Tester. And so anyway, I wanted to get Stephen Miller back on the show. I did finally send him a message earlier this week, because the last week when I was going to send him the message, that same day, the news came out that he was going to be tapped for the deputy White House chief of staff job. So I thought, I'm not even going to bug him today. But I bugged him earlier this week. We'll see if we hear back. Either way, he was on Fox News. The Trump War Room shared this clip as Stephen Miller talking about this invasion of illegal aliens. Joe Biden is now doing everything he can to open up the border even further in his final 2 months in office. But Stephen Miller says the moment Trump takes office, well, I'll let you hear it for yourself.
The moment that President Trump puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath of office, as he has said, the occupation ends, Liberation Day begins. He will immediately sign executive orders, sealing the border shut, beginning the largest deportation operation in American history, finding the criminal gangs, rapists, drug dealers, and monsters that have murdered our citizens and sending them home. No one will be allowed to enter the country illegally, and ICE will be empowered in partnership with FBI, DEA, ATF, the National Guard, to fully seal and secure the border with CBP and to find and identify the criminal threats that are inside this country and send them back home. We saw that heartbreaking testimony, Sean. Laken Riley, that precious, beautiful young woman, fought for her life against an illegal alien imported by Biden-Harris for 18 harrowing minutes. She fought for her life. And we are going to honor that extraordinary woman. And we're going to honor every victim who has suffered. Under President Trump's leadership, you're going to honor that suffering by unleashing a righteous wave of justice and sending these criminal migrants back home.
All right, there you go. Great to have Stephen Miller back in the White House to usher in these policies here come January. All right. Cowboy State Daily publication down in Wyoming has this headline: Mexican cartel tied to real-life Breaking Bad meth bust on the Crow Reservation. I want to talk about that story coming up right after the break. And a new addition to our lineup for Monday's show. Monday, in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of Montana Talks, Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, she'll be with us, and we're going to talk about this story and much more with her on Monday's show. Laken Riley, the Laken Riley murder trial. Wait till you hear how much little time the media has spent covering her trial. I'll get to that too.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. And there's one guest we may have on in the 9 o'clock hour, but I haven't heard back from him yet. So, yeah, it should just be open phones for the rest of the morning here. So you can call it Open Lines Friday. Let's see, where should we go here? Let me get this one out the way first before I get into this story about the real-life Breaking Bad on the Crow Reservation. Putin warns the West, threatens global conflict. That's a headline written by Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer. He may join us next week on the show as well. Reached out to him. He shot me an email back earlier this morning. But, you know, we've been talking about how here's Joe Biden potentially getting us into World War III on his way out the door. And speaking of doors, he's opening the door even further on our southern border for illegal aliens, to make it easier for illegal aliens to come into this country. But Putin warns the West, following the recent missile attacks on Ukraine by Russia, Russian President Vladimir Putin delivered a televised address from the Kremlin on Thursday evening. Putin confirmed that the Russians had used a new weapon in the attacks, and went on to make crystal clear that the world is perilously close to a much broader, much more destructive conflict.
So that's the latest. By the way, Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer, he also knows a thing or two about nuclear weapons because he headed up their CWMD, their counter weapons of mass destruction outfit for the CIA before he had retired after a career working there as well. So, yeah, maybe he'll join us next week on the show as well. Okay, let's see. I think we had some more messages come in. What do we got next here? Let me get to this story. Mexican cartel tied to real-life Breaking Bad meth bust on the Crow Reservation. Now, this isn't necessarily a new story. This story has been out there. I mean, heck, I think we told you about how the Mexican drug cartels were targeting Lodge Grass, Montana, and the Crow Reservation in particular. We told you even before these arrests were made, even before the prosecutions moved forward, we had told you how the Mexican drug cartels were targeting Lodge Grass, Montana, in particular, and how they were targeting the Crow Reservation. But it's not just the Crow Reservation. They're targeting the whole state, especially our Indian reservations here in Montana, and they've been able to do so increasingly because of the wide-open southern border and the fact that, frankly, there's just a need for more law enforcement in Indian country as well. I mean, tribal leaders have been asking for that, and the party in power, Joe Biden and John Tester, refused to provide additional resources. At the same time, they flooded the reservations with drug cartel operatives. But this is the write-up from Cowboy State Daily. Frederica Left Hand held a doctorate degree in education. She was part of an outreach program supporting Native American nursing students. She served as Dean of Admissions at Little Bighorn College on the Crow Indian Reservation. Then she fell, quote, deep in the cartel's clutches, according to court documents. Left Hand's rise and fall as a drug queenpin of a meth ring based in a small community just north of the Wyoming border reveals details about the role women now play in the hierarchy of reservation crime. She pleaded guilty in August 2023 and was sentenced this past May. And then after a recent press conference here in Montana, more details are now available. So this woman pleaded guilty to running a multi-state drug scheme from January of 2022 through March of 2023. Left Hand and other family members lived in a small cluster of homesteads about halfway between Lodge Grass and Wyola on Highway 451. The area is known as Spear Siding, and it's considered a sacred ceremonial site where an annual sun dance is held in June or July. Now the name is sullied by its connection to this case, something that concerns tribal members in Montana and Wyoming. And anyway, and so it's a very interesting read all around here. Cowboy State Daily doing this write-up on what they're referring to as a real-life Breaking Bad involving the Mexican cartels and a meth ring that had been operating on the Crow Indian Reservation. Now, her attorney, and the attorney for this woman who was running this meth ring in collusion with the Mexican drug cartels, sounded like he was trying to make her look to be a victim here. He described Left Hand's decision to enter the drug trade as an act of desperation aimed at helping her brother, Wendell Left Hand. Another quote from the story here. Wendell was in big trouble with the Mexican cartel long before Miss Left Hand interjected herself, continues the memorandum. This is from the attorney for her. Quote, she feared for his well-being in light of how much he owed the cartel. He was eventually incarcerated, and Miss Left Hand took it upon herself to get involved to help pay off her brother's debt. Let me see here. her attorney argued before her sentencing, quote, while the government has consistently portrayed Ms. Lefthand as a leader of this conspiracy, it simply is not true. She was absolutely in a relationship with Carlos, defendant number one, but she had no authority, no decision-making role, no leadership role. They tried to say that Carlos and his cohorts from Mexico were the leaders and organizers of this conspiracy. So anyway, very interesting read at Cowboy State Daily. I know I saw reactions to this story because when the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Montana did a press conference on this topic, you know, there were initial news reports that came out, you know, with just kind of the general, okay, this is what the sentences are going to be for all of these people involved in this meth ring on the Crow Reservation. And here's some more information about the Spear sighting case. That's how they refer to it now, is the Spear sighting case. And I remember some of the initial reactions on social media were like, wow, those sentences aren't that strong. And not to pile on with more, well, here's the thing. Like, what a lot of people don't realize is you might read in the news that some criminal got some big, hefty sentence. Apparently, in these cases, a lot of Montanans responded by saying, well, those aren't strong sentences. Why didn't they get stronger sentences? I mean, these people are slaughtering their own people here. They're slaughtering Montanans. They're slaughtering people. They're destroying families with meth. And they're slaughtering people in collusion with foreign operatives, with a foreign terrorist organization. That's what these drug cartels are. They are foreign terrorist organizations. And these people were colluding with a foreign terrorist organization to slaughter our own people and destroy families, to destroy entire generations. I don't know if you guys remember, we had a woman call in from Poplar, Montana, and she said she lost both of her sons to fentanyl. And now she's raising all of her grandkids on her own because of this type of stuff. And then to hear that, well, they didn't even get that strong of sentences. But then on top of that, we all know that you might read a big sentence in the news and it sounds like they got this tough punishment. And then they get released in a fraction of the time. And so I say this again. The reason we talked about the wide open southern border wasn't just to win an election. It was because there are real on the ground consequences of this invasion that has been allowed to occur, that has continued to allow to occur. But there are also consequences when we have liberal federal judges on the bench. You've seen the consequences with our timber industry in Western Montana. Our timber industry was destroyed by liberal federal judges put on the bench by Democrat senators like Max Baucus and John Tester. Even though John Tester just lost his election, he and Schumer and the rest of these guys are still trying to pack the court with liberal federal judges in the 2 months, in the less than 2 months that they have left. These liberal federal judges don't just shut down the timber industry. They don't just rule against coal mining jobs in Roundup. These liberal federal judges are the ones that give weak sentences to the foreign terrorist operatives and the drug cartel ringleaders that are slaughtering our own people right here in Montana. All right, back to your calls right after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And we better start paying attention to security. After all, Harris and Biden did allow, you know, well over 100 unvetted known terrorists into this country. What do you think they're doing, these people? They're plotting, they're planning, they're scheming an attack to kill all of us. That's why they're here. And they allowed them in. Just like they allowed in the murderers that have killed Lake and Riley and dozens of others. And then you have liberal Democrats, one after another, day in and day out, saying that they are going to do everything in their power to help protect the illegal immigrants. What, over the safety and security of the American people? Because that's the choice you're making here.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
When you're hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. This made us wonder, what if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
Escape rooms? Elementary. And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Simple. So, see what the world is like when ZipRecruiter does the hard work of hiring for you. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine told me decades ago, it takes a genius to make it simple, to which I would add truthful and simple, at least in the realm of the discussion of the adequacy of electricity supply. Few of us have had full exposure to the complexity of how the generation, transportation, and distribution of electricity to every city, home, and business actually works. But that hasn't stopped us from having strong opinions on everything from retiring coal plants to banning Bitcoin miners. To those who do know how the system works and where the choke points are in the flows of power to the places it needs to go, the remedy is simple. Get educated. For most of us, that's not a workable option. It would take the equivalent of a college semester to get a passable understanding of power planning to be fully conversant in its issues. Where is that genius? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you.
.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is great. I was going to talk about this story coming up in the 9 o'clock hour anyway, but now the author of this report will be able to join us. He's going to give us a call here in about 10 minutes. The Freedom Foundation. Go to freedomfoundation.com. We had this gentleman on, Maxford Nelson, I think last year, talking about the partisan bias of the statewide teachers union, the MFPE. Well, he's got a powerful new report out now. Montana taxpayers foot the bill for woke politics at teachers union conference. I'm telling you, folks, it's just like I talked about yesterday on this show. They don't care if they lost the elections 3 weeks ago. They're worried about the elections 10 years from now, 20 years from now. They don't care that DEI woke politics just suffered a massive beating in the elections. They are trying to indoctrinate your teachers so they can indoctrinate your kids, and they're doing it in Montana on taxpayer expense. Wait till you hear some of the details of this report coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of this show. Let's see. I wrote down two things that I needed to share with you. Oh, the other one. The other thing that I needed to share with you here, I didn't need to share, but I think you'd want to hear about it. Earlier this week when John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, was in the house with us, we were talking off air during one of the breaks with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, because we were talking about President Trump's cabinet nominees and more. And during the break, John Jackson, we were talking with Tim Sheehy, and he's like, hey, whatever you do, just tell Trump, do not make Mike Rogers the FBI director. He's too swampy, whatever. Anyway, Dan Scavino Jr., who is a part of Team Trump and the Trump War Room, retweeted this as well. Dan Scavino says this, just spoke to President Trump regarding Mike Rogers going to the FBI. It's not happening. In his own words, quote, I have never even given it a thought. Not happening. So that's from Dan Scavino, and I just shared that, x.com/Aaron Flint. Back into the phone lines we go. We've got Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, it's just affordable housing projects that are
popping up all over the place, you know, by the rhino subdividers. And they're using illegal aliens, you know, that bring them in for the Billings area. But they're Venezuelans, Colombians, and, you know, they're cheap laborers. And they're slick. They'll pull in your driveway with an electric car. You won't even hear it. You know, it just cruises in, cruises out. They can case out your place and come back later. But they're all over, up on Carstead Road, up on Church Drive. My gosh, all sorts of new subdivisions out there between Whitefish and Columbia Falls, and also Whitefish and Kalispell. And it's...
Has it been confirmed that there are illegal aliens that are working? I know, David Nobles told me that there are, you know, some construction companies in the Billings area that apparently have been busted for employing illegal aliens. But where has it been confirmed that the builders in the Flathead are hiring illegals and not using some sort of illegal immigration program?
These aren't local builders. These are LLCs out of state that come in. And they're just, I don't know, they're just like... rounders from Oklahoma or something, you know, they're just
But I guess where was it confirmed that they're hiring illegals? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they are, because we know it's been happening elsewhere. It's just, you know, it's just we just need to...
Well, I know who they are.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, Frank, thanks for the call. Man, the music's already rolling. We got to take a quick break. Yeah, big topics coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Montana taxpayers foot the bill for woke politics at a teachers' union conference here in Montana. You won't believe some of the nonsense that you paid for or that your union dues paid for.
This is House Call for Health. It's one of the most popular weight loss drugs on the market, so Ozempic is in high demand, and that's not lost on a group of thieves who are stealing in bulk. Police in Wayne County, Michigan, say this is the first they've seen of it being stolen, and they're concerned it might become a trend after a sledgehammer smash and grab at a local pharmacy. Usually, the masked men behind a pharmacy heist are after painkillers, but this time in Dearborn, it was weight loss drugs. Police Chief Issa Shaheen says on surveillance footage, they're loading boxes of it into their Dodge Hellcat. $15,000 worth of weight loss drugs. Dearborn police have made one arrest, a suspect in previous felonies, but there's also concern about the bigger picture, a shortage of the weight loss drugs plus extreme demand, adding up to a black market moneymaker at the cost of real patients. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.